Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a supergroup perform a catchy progressive rock song that never charted from an album that only reached number 159 on the Billboard Top 200, a far cry from their debut album, which spent 9 amazing weeks at number 1. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will examine a single on Sun Records released by a musician from Missouri that, back in the mid-50s, shared the stage with Elvis Presley. Later, we will present a track credited to a fictitious family group that featured a real-life bass player that was a key component in the success of another real-life family act. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate a practically perfect song that dropped out of sight shortly after its release, but is finally getting some overdue recognition in the form of a documentary film that is making the film festival circuit 33 years later. But first, just as we always do, we dive into this week's countdown with a song that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then died too. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with the first chart single by a songwriter and singer whose real name sounds like it was custom crafted by the same Brill Building publishers that signed Carol Klein to a deal as Carol King. Upon its first release in April of 1966, this particular single only reached number 55 on the Billboard Hot 100. While that peak may have been a little disappointing to him, another song that he wrote for the Monkees, I'm a Believer, actually became the number one song on the last day of 1966 and stayed at number one for 7 weeks, becoming the longest running number one since The Beatles' and I Wanna Hold Your Hand. Once his reputation as a songwriter was confirmed, Bang Records began having all kinds of success with his records and eventually re-released this single, a classic that has more than conquered the test of time.
Melinda was mine till the time that I found her, holding Jim, loving him. Then Sue came along, love me strong, that's what I thought. Me and Sue, that I do. Don't know that I will, but until I can find me a girl to stay, won't play games behind me, and I'll be what I am, a solid. Part-time thing, paper ring. I know it's been done, having one girl who loves you, right or wrong, we go strong. Don't know that I will, but until I can find.
Spending a week at number 40 in Record World on its way up to a peak of number 6 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary chart, that was Neil Diamond and his classic single on Bang Records, Solitary Man.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
20.
At number 20, we have a four-man mod group from Brighton, England called the Lambrettas. Formed in 1979 and ultimately signed to Rocket Records, they first charted in England with their ska-influenced cover of Lieber & Stoller's Poison Ivy, which landed them at number 7 on the British singles chart. Their follow-up single, Dance, hit number 12 in England, allowing the group to tour Europe as the opening act for Madness. Their debut album, Beat Boys in the Jet Age, reached number 28 on the British album chart. We think that both the single Dance and the album that contained it should have reached number 20 in the U.S.
It's up to you.
The single that should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. Those were the Lambrettas, and their hit that really did reach number 12 in the UK, Dance.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 11, we have a single that was first a number one hit in the Netherlands, and then a top 10 throughout the rest of Europe. In the United States, it was heavily supported in the Boston area on WMEX radio by legendary disc jockey J.C. Connors. Born in 1940, disc jockey J.C. Connors joined the Air Force immediately after graduating from high school in 1958. He was part of Armed Forces Radio and even served on a special communications team put together by the Kennedy administration during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Following his service, he became an announcer at WJET in Erie, Pennsylvania. After a successful and lengthy stay at WJET, he was hired by one of the biggest stations in the United States, WMEX, in Boston. At WMEX, he served as the music director and held down a number one spot as a DJ in the Arbitron ratings for a number of years in the entire New England area. He was considered a tastemaker jock and even received a gold record for helping turn Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-Ling into a hit single. He also helped Harry Chapin break through as a singer-songwriter. When J.C. heard How Do You Do by Mouth and McNeil, a duo from the Netherlands whose real names were Willem Dunn and Maggie McNeil, he believed that it was a smash. He played the record on his show and created demand for it. Eventually, other stations across the United States took notice, and soon the song was perched at number 11 for 1 week on its way up to a peak at number 8. Several years later, J.C. left the Boston area, ultimately taking a job at a radio station in Tampa, Florida. Unfortunately, his career was cut short when he was killed in a traffic accident in Virginia while driving back to the Northeast from Tampa. Thankfully, though, the memory of J.C. Connors is honored every time a 70 station plays the hit oldie that he believed in and crafted into a chart single. Here is Mouth and McNeil with How Do You Do?
Once I said I wanna shoot, I don't remember why. I often wonder if it's true that you could make me cry. I only know it's long ago you said I love you too. But I got one solution left, we're gonna start anew.
How do you do? I thought why not, na-na-na-na, just me and you. And then we can, na-na-na-na, just like before. And you will say, na-na-na-na, please give me more. And you will think, na-na-na-na, hey, that's what I'm living for. Just like before, and you will say, na 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 na, please give me more. And you will think, na 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 na, hey, that's what I'm living for.
How do you do? I thought why not, na 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 na, just me and you. And then began, na 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 na, just like before, and you will say, na na.
In memory of the great DJ J.C. Connors, that was Mouth and McNeil with How Do You Do?
Number 10.
Back in the early 80s, four respected British musicians formed Asia, a true supergroup that was predicted to be the greatest progressive rock group in history. But when Steve Howe and Jeff Downes from Yes teamed up with Carl Palmer from Emerson, Lake & Palmer and John Wetton of King Crimson and actually recorded their debut album, the resulting tracks were more single-oriented FM rock than straight progressive rock. Asia's debut album spent 9 weeks at number one, and their initial single hit number four on the Billboard Singles chart, with a second single making the top 20. Their follow-up album was also successful, generating two more chart singles and a huge worldwide tour. As time passed, though, the group went through some lineup changes and basically never recaptured their initial dominance. Then, at some point a year or so ago, a disc jockey whose name I cannot recall played several tracks off of Asia's Gravitas album. As a result, I heard the song Nyctophobia, which promptly stayed in my head for a couple of days thereafter. It never charted, but based upon that vocal hook, it certainly should have.
Don't blow the candle out, just leave it by my bed. With all these ghosts and visions, trolls inside my head. Just when the wolves will howl, the dogs begin to bark. This is for real, I have a fear of the dark. And as the endless nights will overturn the days, intellectual logic seems to vanish in a haze. Paranoia has a measure of me.
with a song that should have, at the very least, reached the top 10 in both the U.S. and in England. That was the British supergroup Asia and their song about fear of the dark, Nyctophobia.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have a song by that seven-man rock act that seemed to find songwriters lurking around every corner. By the time they cut this song in 1972, the writer responsible for it, Hoyt Axton, had only a few months before just provided them with Joy to the World, Billboard's biggest single of the year in 1971.
Well, I've never been to Spain, but I kinda like the music. See, the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it. They don't abuse it, never gonna lose it. I can't refuse it. Well, I never been to England, but I kinda like the Beatles. Well, I hit it for Las Vegas.
Vocal by the late Corey Wells, that was Three Dog Night with Never Been to Spain, which spent 1 week at number nine on its way up to a peak at number five in both Billboard and Cashbox.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Auden and Grace should have reached number eight.
Now we are up to an instrumental recording that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is by one of the most successful touring rock acts these days. This band has never had a top 40 single since they formed back in 1986. Instead, they have released 12 studio albums and numerous live recordings directly from the soundboard of their nonstop concerts. In many ways, they have taken the business approach accidentally discovered by the Grateful Dead and cleverly implemented it in a way that allows modern technology to keep them in front of their fans at all times. From their album, which reached number 27 on the Billboard album chart, Dirty Side Down, here is Widespread Panic with St. Louis. The song that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. That was Widespread Panic and St. Louis.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, a single that was called Hillbilly Bop upon its release in the mid-50s on Sun Records. The artist who cut this single was not one of the members of that famous foursome known as the Million Dollar Quartet, but he did record right alongside all the Sun legends and toured with Elvis, Jerry Lee, Johnny Cash, and Carl Perkins. Oney Wheeler was born in Zenith, Missouri on November 10, 1921. He sang, played guitar, and became quite proficient on the harmonica growing up. After completing his military service, which included serving during World War II, Oney returned to the Southeast Missouri area and worked in radio at various stations in Missouri and Arkansas. By 1950, as his radio career continued, he formed the now legendary Ozark Cowboys with Ernest Thompson and brothers AJ and Doyle Nelson. During the years prior to rock and roll being formally named and accepted into the country music and bluegrass establishment, Oney's music became casually known as Hillbilly Bop. During 1953, the Ozark Cowboys recorded in Nashville and were signed to Columbia Records. While they did not chart with those releases, Lefty Frizzell recorded a version of the Ozark Cowboys song, Run 'Em Off, that reached the top 10 of the country charts. After the Ozark Cowboys left Nashville, Oney became a disc jockey for KSIM Radio in Sikeston, Missouri. On January 21, 1955, during his radio show on KSIM, Oney interviewed a young Elvis Presley, who was in Sikeston to perform at the National Guard Armory there. The actual bill on the concert was called the Jimmy Haggett Jamboree and was put together by disc jockey Jimmy Haggett of KBOA Radio in Kennett, Missouri, to raise money for the National Guard of Southeast Missouri. Oney would say of Elvis, quote, "I knew from the start that Elvis was absolutely the most talented and different entertainer I had ever seen, and I think I was one of the first to tell him so," close quote. Elvis performed that night in a pink suit that he brought with him in a Piggly Wiggly grocery sack. The crowd was reported to have enjoyed the show, although some mothers escorted their daughters out of the armory when Elvis began to twist on stage. According to Doyle Nelson, following Elvis's performance at the Sikeston Armory that night, Elvis, along with his backing band, Scotty Moore and Bill Black, went around the corner in Sikeston to the Lake House Inn, where Oney Wheeler did a set. Elvis even played the drums with the Ozark Cowboys as the club date turned into a jam session. Scotty Moore and Bill Black went on back to Memphis, but Elvis stayed the night in Sikeston at the home of his great uncle, Floyd Presley. The connection between the Ozark Cowboys and Elvis was to far exceed just that one night in Sikeston, Missouri. Not long after that fateful performance, Oney and the band were at Sun Records releasing the song Jump Right Out of This Jukebox. While the single did not have the impact of some of the other rockabilly releases on Sun, it was indeed a Sun single. That fact alone confirms its legendary status. Our little slice of heaven today belongs to Oney Wheeler and the Ozark Cowboys with Jump Right Out of This Jukebox.
Suppose that I should come to life when they play this song. I could be in a lot of places at once and see what's going on. If you believe it's strong enough, you'll find it will come true. And I'll jump right out of this jukebox and get a armful of you. Now let me take a look around to see if I can find. I want to just drop that nickel in to hear this song of mine. I'll bet that's you, that's a walking away. It's the last thing I do. I want to jump right out of this jukebox and get a armful of you. Just believe that it's true and see what imagination can do. I wanna jump right out of this jukebox and get an armful of you. Now I hope I get played a lot, cause I'd just like to see if my girl is somewhere around, if she's cheating on me. If you walk into someone new, I'm gonna make him jealous too. I'm gonna jump right out of this jukebox and get an armful of you. Well, lucky me, she just walked in, alone and looking blue. I bet she's wondering where I am, or maybe she loves me too. Well, darling, believe in what I say, then your heart won't be so blue. I wanna jump right out of this jukebox and get an armful of you. Just believe that it's true and see what imagination can do. I'm gonna jump right out of this jukebox and get an armful of you. Yes, I'm gonna jump right out of this jukebox and get an armful of you.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Sun Records artist Oney Wheeler and Jump Right Out of This Jukebox. Incidentally, two of the members of the Ozark Cowboys, brothers AJ and Doyle Nelson, were uncles to the lead singer of The Trend, Matt Collier. Sometimes it truly seems that everything in music is indeed connected. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Shinichiru from Japan sent an email telling us hi, and he wishes us a happy new year. He says he will catch us next time on shortwave in his hometown of Sayama City. Well, Shinichiru, thank you for listening, and we wish you a wonderful and prosperous new year. Tomas from Barcelona heard our 7440 kilohertz broadcast on a Texon PL880 with telescopic antenna. He reports 45444 and tells us that ours is a pleasant program. He has been into shortwave for years and hopes to catch our show again. Well, Tomas, thank you for your reception report, and we hope that you and yours have a very happy new year. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today's act, the progressive rock band from Kansas, called Kansas, has certainly done that. And their bonus hit is a beautiful acoustic number that was overlooked upon its original release as an album track. Nevertheless, we think that it should have been released as a single and should have reached number 6 in the process. With an amazing lead vocal by Steve Walsh, here is Kansas.
It was all arranged. You couldn't live there anymore. All you had was that old place in the middle of the path of progress. And so they took the space and put the ceiling on the floor. In one of the rooms all the walls were blue. It was hidden so well that no one knew. Just the place for taking in the of the sea, crisp and clear and never ending. There your soul ran free, there your spirit soared. The view took you away to the boundaries of imagination, back to yesterday, back to once before. In one of the rooms all the walls were blue, a mysterious space without a clue. Just the place for taking in the view. Something very strange started beckoning to you. When they came to move your things, you had packed a suitcase full of memories. Nothing else to bring except a different point of view. In one of the rooms all the walls were blue, a mysterious face without a clue. Just the place for taking in the view.
With our bonus hit at number 6, that was Kansas and Taking in the View, an album track that MCA Records never released as a single.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a song that I heard the very first time it was played on any commercial pop station in the United States. The Top 40 pop station known as KCMQ in Columbia, Missouri, claimed to be the first to spin this record in December of 1981. Of course, it had already been played numerous times in Columbia by KCOU, the legendary college radio station at the University of Missouri. Later, that same night, I heard the same song live at the Blue Note in Columbia. With all the chatter about pop radio airplay happening and the loud pandemonium at their Blue Note performance, it sure seemed like these guys were destined to hit number 5 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World.
I've gotta get a letter to you, can't let our love be broken in two. I've gotta get a letter to you.
That made their set list every single time I heard them live, which amounted to about 40 times, that was Fool's Face and the Brian Kaufman original, Gotta Get a Letter to You, at number 5.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which means that we are going to play a single that did considerably better in England than it did in the United States. It is by a group that is definitely from England, but based upon their name, were originally thought by many radio listeners to have been from the United States. The Nashville Teens were a British group that, like the Beatles, honed their skills at the Star Club in Hamburg, Germany. Once they attracted the attention of London Records, their early releases were produced by Mickey Most. Based upon the radio airplay of one single, they became part of the second wave of the 1964 British invasion.
In the middle of place called Tobacco Road.
But it's home, the only life I've ever known. Only you know how I know.
Tobacco Road.
Placing 11 notches higher in England than they did in the United States with a John D. Loudermilk song about the seedy side of Durham, North Carolina. Those were the Nashville Teens from England and Tobacco Road.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number three. Now we are up to our three from way downtown, and today we are focusing on downtown San Pueblo, California, the fictitious hometown of that musical television family, the Partridge Family. After the success of the real-life family group The Cowsills, television producer Bernard Slade loved the idea of a mother in a singing act with her talented children, and he decided that the next big television group was ready to manufacture. Production was soon underway for an ABC sitcom featuring a fictitious family that found themselves in demand as a performing pop band after recording a hit single in their garage. Unlike the storyline of the show, though, nothing was recorded in a garage. The real music on their recordings was performed by the studio wizards from Los Angeles that we have mentioned several times before, the Wrecking Crew, and it was done in world-class recording studios in Los Angeles. Specifically, the bass on this upcoming track was played by Joe Osborne, the gifted musician who, only a few months before laying down this amazing bass part, really did make a demo in his garage on two talented siblings. Thankfully, he passed that demo along to his friend, A&M Records co-founder Herb Alpert. Those siblings, by the way, were Richard and Karen Carpenter. Based on that demo, A&M signed the Carpenters, and with Joe Osborne playing bass and Wrecking Crew member Hal Blaine on drums, Richard and Karen reached number one on July 25th, 1970 with Close to You. Less than 4 months later, the team of Joe Osborne on bass and Hal Blaine on drums hit number one again with I Think I Love You, the debut single credited to the Partridge Family. Actually, on recordings, the Partridge Family was really David Cassidy and Shirley Jones singing with the Wrecking Crew backing. In addition to I Think I Love You, their debut album also included this track, which featured Joe Osborne scorching the studio with one of the greatest bass parts ever recorded onto a pop record.
Singing it out to the people, singing it out to them all, singing my song and they're singing along. All of my problems are oh so small, all of my problems are so small. Singing it out in the morning, the night. Making it clear, cause I want them to hear. We can make everything quite alright. We can make everything alright.
Sounding even better than he did on Close to You by the Carpenters or Valerie by the Monkees, that was Wrecking Crew bassist Joe Osborne driving the Partridge Family's bus way downtown with his excellent bass part on the Wes Farrell Diane Hildebrand composition, Singing My Song.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means we are going to play a song that we believe should have reached number 1. It is a steamy soul ballad written by the Stax songwriting team of Homer Banks, Ray Jackson, and Carl Hampton. Originally composed with an up-tempo backbeat for The Emotions back in 1970, the song was not a chart success at all. It sat on the shelf for a couple of years. Then vocalist Luther Ingram heard it, slowed it down, and decided to record his version in Muscle Shoals. Using both a Wurlitzer electric piano and a Hammond organ, Luther crafted the song into a number one R&B hit that reached number 3 on the pop charts. We think that it should have gone all the way to number 1 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. Here is Luther Ingram with his Stax distributed single, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. If being right means being without you, I'd rather live a wrong doing life. Your mom and daddy say it's a shame, it's a downright disgrace. But long as I got you by my side, I don't care what your people say. Your friends tell you it's no future in loving a married man. If I can't see you when I want, I'll see you when I can. If loving you is wrong, I don't wanna be right. If loving you is wrong, I don't wanna be right. Am I wrong to fall so deeply in love with you, knowing I got a wife and two little children depending on me too? And am I wrong to hunger for the gentleness of your touch, knowing I got someone else at home who needs me just as much? And are you wrong to give your love to a married man? And am best thing I ever had? If loving you is wrong, I don't wanna be right. If loving you is wrong, I don't wanna be right.
with a song that we think should have hit number one. That was Luther Ingram with If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a song that I have loved from the first time I ever heard it, the very day that its test pressing arrived at the Memphis studio where it was recorded. A few months ago, before playing the song Catcher in the Rain by Good Question, I recalled the day that their test pressing arrived at Sounds Unreal Studios and a brief conversation I had with their late drummer. On that date, producer Don Smith and his co-producer, the ever-present Jack Holder, cranked up the track Jane from an unlabeled vinyl test pressing of the album Thin Disguise in the studio's listening room for a handful of guests. Some of those guests were famous and some were not so famous. By sheer happenstance, Trend guitarist Mike Astrakhan and I, two of the not-so-famous ones, were both present for that historic moment. I can't speak for Mike, but I was blown away by what I heard. And all these years later, I continue to be blown away by Van Duren's incredibly catchy song, his amazing lead vocal, and the perfect production. Now featured on the soundtrack album of the award-winning documentary called Waiting, The Van Duren Story, that was Good Question and our Hall of Perfection track at number one, Jane. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.